Some great, also to piggyback on what you're saying, some great student guests.
Yes.
And they will, from Shaker and other places, I guess. So good. James will be here.
Mm-hmm.
James Sheltis from the Pride Center, et cetera, et cetera. Co-chair of Glisten Now. And on deck we have Seth Jameson Reines. Welcome, sir. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
It is certainly our pleasure. And I am looking at all kinds of material. I've been just devouring your book here. Beautifully packaged. But first, we'll talk about how beautifully packaged you are, because your CV has all kinds of information here. I don't think I've ever seen this many roles of any single guest. Psychologist, rehab counselor, life coach,
yeah.
motivational speaker, musician, computer analyst, and entrepreneur.
Yeah, whoa. I guess so. Let's just fly. I'm not really sure how that happened. I guess just the interest in a lot of things in life, and who knows? You know, I reach back now and try to wonder why I didn't just do one thing. And who knows, it could have been because my mind was, you know, perseverating over being in the wrong body, you know, back in the day. And so I kept running from job to job to job to try and find what I thought was me and happiness. So, I mean, it worked out to my benefit, but, you know, there was a lot of effort and a lot of possibly running and hiding. I mean, I can't explain it now. That's what I think, you know. But then again, I've already gone through all those years of working, and so who knows? I can make up any story, right?
I mean, you know. I loved, to jump ahead, your reference to being the same person in a different wrapper. I thought it says so much in so few words.
Well, when you're talking to kids, you got to keep it simple. I mean, even though I do talk to adults, and you try and explain to them on a level they can understand, because, you know, after all, they look at me and they go, okay, there's an old dude up there. What are they going to tell me? And when I can relate to what I went through and bring it down to their level and try and keep things simple, maybe that's something they'll hook onto, and they'll be able to use it to just, you know, move on in life and not get stuck.
Well, I can certainly identify that at age 67 when I, you know, last spring I went out to where the junior high school where I started my career and talked to a junior high, and not even middle school, junior high, Gay Straight Alliance, and I felt the same way you do. But as long as you're yourself, I find they're only too happy to listen to everything you have
exactly.
to say.
Exactly, exactly. And you know, when I talk to them, I also talk to them about life, because what's on their mind right now is I'm in the wrong body, and if that's where they're hell-bent on going, I've got to transition tomorrow, and how come it's not happening, and I want it now. And that's all fine and dandy, but you also have to go to school. You have to deal with things at school, good or bad. You have to deal with life. You know, what do you want to do with yourself at the same time while you're also thinking about this? And they tend to forget about that because they're 150% invested on, I've got to take care of me now, which most kids are anyway in the teenage, you know, era, no matter who they are. I mean, that's finding out about yourself. But for trans kids, you know, sometimes that's younger than teenage.
Well, I love the way you took the bull by the horns right in the beginning, talked about your perspective, established yourself as somebody who was older than them, and I picked up the, you know, in reading articles about you, that you were aware that your perspective was important, because it's always dangerous, as we just said, to give advice to those who were younger. It's a tough thing to do, but
right.
you managed to do it.
Right. Well, I can only say what I feel, and I always tell them this is my opinion, and it may go against what could be out there, but I've lived it. And I've lived it in an era when most people of our generation, you know, couldn't say anything about it, much less know what it was. It wasn't out there to be had. There was no internet, no, you know, two radio stations, a rotary phone on the wall, and the Dewey Decimal System in the library. And quite frankly, what were you asking the librarian? If your parents even drove you there, or you walked.
Yeah.
What were you really asking them? What word? What do you want to look up? You know, a book that tells me that I'm not me. You know, like there was no language for it. And if there was, it was certainly not, you know, out there like it is today.
And also, again, I'm somewhere near your age. I think we could call ourselves maybe cohorts or whatever.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you. It was very difficult to find, for me too, to find anything that was there. But the number of stations on the air, the popular culture of the times, just offered virtually nothing, Seth.
Oh, absolutely. You're right. There was nothing. Well, but that was you know, TV and media back in the 50s and 60s and 70s. You know, it's certainly grown. And for sure, in the last 3 to 4 years, anything about transgender people has grown exponentially on the Internet. And I just watch it just explode. It's kind of like a volcano. And, you know, you can't put the lava back. People are going to have to, you know, understand. And the biggest thing for me is just to educate people, because I think if you educate them, it's not a big deal. I mean, and I'm not making light of it. It's a big deal for the child who's in the wrong body and wants to transition. But I think people are always afraid of what they don't know. And when you educate them and they can sort of break it apart, especially the adults, you know, I've seen it in the PFLAG group that I facilitate. I watch it come over people's faces, like the parents' faces. And I watch how they come in, their faces are all twisted and distorted, and they're very upset, justifiably so. But then when they meet other parents and they talk about it a little bit, it's not so bad. You can see it, like the relief just wash over their face that they're going to be okay. You know, it's not going to happen tomorrow. But, you know, they take it one step at a time, and they move forward, and things are going to work out okay, even though it may not be what they dreamt and planned of for their child.
Well, I love that, and you're right on the money here. I love when you reference something that I have to explain to the GSA kids, that in our time, if you came out, you could end up in a whole lot of trouble, because it wasn't until December of 1973 when the American Psychiatric Association said anything about even being gay. I mean, it was a mental illness. You could end up...
Oh, trust me, I know. I was sitting in front of Dr. John Money at the age of 9. Mm. Who was the pioneer in John Hopkins, because I grew up in Baltimore, for gender identity. And probably because in those days they used to give a test called the MMPI, which tested for, today it's 10, but back then the 9 traits of mental illness, of which homosexuality was one of them.
And that's a great piece from your book. Tell us about Dr. Money and the photo, what he showed you and asked you to...
Well, when I sat there in front of him, and by the way, I just heard the other day, because I'm not totally involved in it, they actually do that with kids today, except they're just a boy and a girl. It's not photographs. But, you know, when I was a child, they held up two pictures. He's held up two pictures to me, and I was about 8 or 9, and one was a penis and one was a vagina. And you know... You know, you think today it's probably no big deal for kids because they see everything all over the Internet, but back in the 60s, that was a big deal. I mean, if my eyes didn't pop out and roll across the table, to try and, you know, restrain myself. And he asked 3 questions, you know, do I know what they are, which one do I have, and which one do I want? Mm. And, of course, the first two were okay, you know, but the third one, I knew what I wanted because, you know, as far as I was concerned, my penis was missing. But I couldn't say that, because you also know at a certain age, every child's different, but usually 8, 9, or 10, you know, the age of reasoning, you kind of know what you can and can't say in your house without getting in trouble.
Uh-huh.
And so I thought, you know, that I would be punished for it. So, I mean, I bared the burden of that for well over 50 years, and I did try to get my records, but, you know, of course they said they're on fish and, you know, the whole story, and we can't find them. Because I was just curious as to why you know, I was taken there. And as something that just came up last week, I was home for the Jewish holidays, and I met somebody I hadn't seen in years in the synagogue. And she goes, wow, you look great. I haven't seen you. And we're talking, and she goes, you know, your mother told us years ago that she was taking you to John Money. Now, you know, you got to realize this. When you think about in the 60s, you're telling friends and people about this person, you know, you have to wonder, because my parents aren't alive, what really was going on in their brain that, A, they were asking so many different people of their friends and sharing something like that. So that was, like, kind of news to me. I was in shock.
Now, absolutely. Again, the context is everything. So it's the 50s, an era that, David, you and I know well.
Oh, yes.
You're born a girl at age 8. I want to get visceral with you here. You knew that you were a boy. And I think this runs parallel to something that Sean and I have talked about in terms of knowing that we're gay. It's not a sexual thing per se, but it's a definite realization on some visceral level.
Right, right, right. Well, you know, the thing that's very important, and I'll step back and just explain this. There's a big difference between gender identity and sexual orientation, and everybody confuses those. Gender identity is who you know yourself to be. And that happens at a very early age, somewhere between 18 months and 3 years of age. That's when they claim that you come into your own identity. Now, do you express it? And every kid's different, you know. When they come up to it, I've seen kids at 2 years of age come up to their parents and go, I'm a boy, I'm a boy, why you call me a girl? So where would a child at two get that kind of information? You just know it internally. When you talk about sexual orientation, it's who you're attracted to, right? So I tell people, identity is who you go to bed as, orientation is who you go to bed with. And they always confuse those two things, and they have nothing to do with each other.
I'm so glad you backed up, because I, in that metaphor, I didn't mean to muddy the waters, but you're absolutely right. And today, especially, I think gender identification and sexual orientation are just inextricably bound by so many people.
Right. Well, you know what? When people never think about their identity, because most of the world, 99 and 44, 100% of the world, you know, they're born, they go, I'm a girl. And they don't even think about it because it's not something they ever question, or I'm a boy, you know, I'm a man or whatever, and they don't question it. But when you have a child that's questioning something, you know, and it's rolling around in their head, you have to stop and give pause to that, because there's got to be some truth. And I think we, as of late, are starting to learn that the spectrum between what's a boy and what's a girl is not narrow anymore. It's huge, and it's wide open. And I think it's always been there, just either people didn't talk about it or it wasn't, you know, table talk. And I think what's happened is it's just blown wide open, that what has always been there is now out for everybody to see, which is a great thing, actually. It's not a bad thing. And that, you know, there are all types of people in the world, and I think we just have to accept people for who they are and who they present as, and not try and pigeonhole them and put them in, you know, one jail cell to the next, so to speak, you know, and box them up.
Well, amen to that. And I really have to go back to, I've already gotten a text or two on it. When you said a child saying at two or three, I'm a boy, I'm a girl. To right. me, that's the sine qua non of the whole deal. I mean, if they're saying this, what child would make that up?
Right. And you know, again, not every person who says that they're transgender or identifies in a body otherwise than what they were born into is going to do that at 2 years of age or 3 years of age. You know, there's people that maybe have wrestled with it for many, many years and are now coming out because, you know, it's out there, or they just can't stuff it down anymore. But there's something pure about a younger child that can just say that, because they actually really haven't been tainted by what's on the news, what's on the radio. This is their pure self actually saying, you know, where's my penis, or whatever they may say in any form or shape to their parents. And I think because it's out in the news, parents are not as likely to suppress that, because they've heard it, you know, around. So they're not saying, oh, this person's going to be, you know, gay, or this person's going to be a tomboy and we're going to live with it. I think they're looking a little bit more beyond it than they did in my day.
Well, the phrase in my day and in my day as well really strikes me, because you're able to, and the title, remember, is Real Talk for Teens.
That's right.
And it's kind of a tough talk, but you have an uncanny ability to turn this into something positive, because I hear you saying to youth, trans youth, now, as difficult as it may be for you, and you tell them, you're honest, you know, it's not going to be easy, that right on the cover, it's transitioning is a marathon, not a 100-yard dash, and you talk about your grandmother, you know, good things take time. I think she was the one who put that out there. But with that said, what was there when you were looking at your situation versus now, there's a real optimism, because there are resources out there. You're on the board of GLSEN and many other, and several other organizations.
Well, and the thing is, in my day, you know, which is true for all kids, my mother told me that you need to grow alligator skin. And that's the theme of this book. That's why there's alligators all throughout it for kids, because she used to say, if you think it's tough now, what are you going to do in life when you don't get a job, or someone fires you, or someone does something else? You have to learn to be able to blow those things off and not add fuel to the fire to someone who's bullying you. And to me, I know everybody says, but there's social media and there's everything. Look, you know, I say to the kids, right in their own talk, you follow Beyonce or Jay-Z or Lady Gaga or Taylor Swift, I don't care who it is, do you really think that they look at every tweet, and believe me, they're not all good, And do you really think they get bothered by that? I said, you have to do the same thing. You have to unfriend these people and block these people and move on. Because, you know, if it's hard for you today, maybe 2 years from now it's just going to be as hard. So you have to unfuel those people. And I try and tell them to have some kind of elevator speech, meaning, you know, what would you say if someone came up to you and said, like, oh, you know, you're a trans kid or something like that, ha, 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 and they make fun of them. You know, I just tell them, you know, I just tell them in a calm manner, because that's the most important part. You want to respond to people. You don't want to react. Just say, yeah, it's kind of cool, isn't it? You know, hit me up sometime and we'll talk about it. And walk away. Mm-hmm. And walk away. Because then the kid's left there like, what? and because they expect you to fight. We know that. You know, and everybody, I'm a golden rule person, you know, do unto others. And I just think that that's so important, and we forget that.
It's an incredible amount of wisdom in respect, or respond, don't react. I mean,
oh, yeah.
That's a lot of wisdom. And I could see a kid latching on to that and actually using it.
Right. Well, and, you know, too, this is for all teenagers. It's not just trans kids. All teenagers are trying to find themselves, you know, and that's going to be in 20 years from now, and in 50 years from now, and 100 years ago. That's just the way life is. But for trans kids, if it's earlier, you know, they have to live with it. There's always the fear of them being outed if they're trying to be stealth, which means, you know, not letting anybody know. But I always say to them, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. It is going to happen. It is going to happen in this world today, and you have to be prepared. You have to be prepared with some kind of statement that, you know, can diffuse them in a sense. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they're outing you, that they're bullying you. Some kid just wants to, you know, have 5 minutes of fame and say something, you know, to this child. And you just have to be prepared. And if you're prepared, you just spout it out like a speech in a play or whatever it is, two or three statements, and walk away.
I love that you also bring out that it's indigenous. Being difficult and going through this hard period of your life is indigenous. It's not indigenous only to being trans. I mean, right back to Holden Caulfield and Catcher in the Rye.
Right,
all
sure.
I mean, we're all kind of crazy in this
stretch. Right. I mean, I think kids are growing up faster than we did because they have a lot more things in their view. But it's how you handle it. And I think that's kind of something that doesn't change no matter what era we're living in.
That's perfect.
I really do.
All right. Author Seth Reines is on the line with us in case you're just tuning in. And we're going to take a break for a song that speaks right to this, talking about thematically pure, John Mayer with the song Say, because he talks about that, you know, saying what you want to say, you know, have no fear. You got to say what you got to say. As he says in the song, even if your hands are shaking and your faith is broken, even if the eyes are closing, do it with a heart wide open, say what you need to say. And that's exactly it. You know, being true to yourself, being honest and open, you know, it makes a lot of sense. Stay tuned. You're listening to Homo Radio right here on 91.5 FM, WRPI Troy. More with author Seth Reines on the way. Also, we're going to be talking with some students here from GLSEN. So a lot of great things happening right here on Homo Radio. Keep it locked.
Take all of your wasted honor, every little past frustration. Take all of your so-called problems, better put them in quotations. Say what you need to say. 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 Better off instead if you could only say. to say too much, than never to say what you need to say again. Even if your hands are shaking and your faith is broken, even as the eyes are closing, do it with a heart wide open. Why? Say what you need to say. Say what you need to say.
Mark O'Connor, and when I'm in Troy, I listen to WRPI Troy.
I thought that thing would never end.
Where are these new station ideas?
You were scaring me there. So that was kind of a long intro.
It was.
Next time, don't bring your violin.
My God. Anyway, John Mayer before that with Say. He's got a new girlfriend, by the way. We were talking about this in the office. You know, he was spotted out in a West Hollywood cafe where a fan was actually wearing a Katy Perry t-shirt. That's his ex. You know, they've been on and off there for the last year or whatever. So
who's he seeing now?
Some mystery blonde. They didn't name who it was in TMZ, but, you know, it's kind of awkward, though.
Is she a celebrity?
It didn't say.
Oh.
I'm sure that if TMZ was reporting this, you know, they would know who the celebrity is. But yeah, somebody was wearing a Katy Perry concert t-shirt, and so, you know, they've been on and off again, you know, Katy Perry and John Mayer for quite some time, so a little awkward there.
What is it about him?
I think he's got a great voice. He's nothing to look at.
I've heard but I've heard relationship-wise, like, he is, like, the biggest douchebag.
I have heard that.
In the world.
Well, just because you can sing doesn't mean you're a good person.
But why is he... Who is he finding to either that or he's hung like a horse.
maybe he's the one that Katy Perry wrote that song about. You're hot and you're cold, you're yes and you're no.
It could be, but I've heard he's an absolute douchebag.
He seems like it. I saw him once at SPAC. He did a great job with the show. You know, he's got a great voice.
Very talented. You know, he's got great musician.
He's got the sexiness about him, despite being sort of, you know, his face isn't all that, but, you know.
Maybe he has other attributes.
Yeah, maybe. One never knows. What it is.
We're heading back to the Viagra.
Apparently, I'm guessing he doesn't need Viagra.
I was going to say, apparently not. Viagra need not apply.
Yeah, well.
You have the best factoids, Sean, I swear.
Well, apparently this guy's banging more than just a guitar, so.
Oh, boy. Anyway, this is Dr. Ray working WRPI. Troy.
Back to Earth. Back to reality.
I have the distinct pleasure of speaking to Seth Jameson Reynes, and he's written a marvelous book entitled Real Talk for Teens, the subtitle Jumpstart Guide to Gender Transitioning and Beyond. And since I have the work in my hands, Seth, I want to talk about the way the book is packaged, because I don't know who your graphic artist was, but boy, they certainly connected in terms of symbolism. I'm huge on symbols. And you mentioned the alligator, which was prominently featured throughout. The smiling alligator is right there, and it says, learn to grow alligator skin right on the top of the back of the work. Mm-hmm. And it would definitely, you know, the front is so well done, and the graphics are great. Yep. Is that a talent that you have, or did you?
Yeah, that's me. I was in the graphic business.
Really?
Oh, yeah, the whole book was designed and all the layouts, you know, everywhere everything was put into that book was, I mean, the detail for me was, you know, and I'm fastidious with that because if you're in the graphic business, you can't be off one iota. So, you know, everybody calls it a DNA strain, but the interesting part about that was the first try was the two paths. One's the path of life and one's the path of transitioning, and they cross each other. It's that simple. That's what that is. Sometimes, you know, you go out on a limb to do some transitioning stuff, but sooner or later you got to come back to your life and, you know, like everybody, it's just the way it is.
That is certainly well put. Now, the organizational structure of the work, if we can turn to that for a minute, because I think it's very significant here. The book is basically in two pieces. The first part is what you call a mental toolkit. Love the phraseology. And the second is an A to Z guide for transitioning. And it is, you know, it really is inclusive. Everything is there. You chose that. Why?
Well, I know there's a lot of stuff. Well, I know there's a lot of information on the internet, but I tried to use the KISS method. You know, just to keep it simple and just go through the basics for kids. So here's your foundation. I looked at it like if you're going to build a house, you need that foundation. And this book is that foundation for these kids. All right? You need to know everything that's out there. And I cut a lot back, you know, because some of the basic stuff is all they need to know. So when they go to do their own research, they go, wait a minute, I read that in the book, and I'm not so sure that that's right and that this is the right thing. These are the basic things that are involved if you choose to do medical or surgical transitioning, and not everybody does and not everybody will. But this is what's out there right now, and I tried to write it from the point of having that book stay in perpetuity.
I can't imagine that the book would age because it is. It does seem to be timeless.
Well, that's what we tried to do. We tried not to put it. I mean, it was funny because when as I was writing it, it was Bruce Jenner, and I had to, oh, we got to go back, got to change it to Caitlin. and so, I mean, you know, I'm just trying to hope that it'll stay around for a while. They may come up with a little different nuance on the surgery, but all the surgeries are basically the same. You know, one doctor may do something a little different than the other one, but, you know, the end results are close to coming out to being the same. I can't speak for 20 years from now. Listen, I hope to be alive. But, you know, I'm trying to help kids so that they, if this was the book that they had somewhere in middle United States and it's all they had under their pillow, reading this book is going to help them get by. And that was the basis for writing it because it wasn't there when I was a child.
Well, I want to put out there that at the end of the interview, we're going to give two websites, sir, and information on how not only number one to reach you and number two how to get the book, because people are barraging me with these questions. In fact, let's put them right out there now. If you want to talk to Seth, it's www.sethraines.com. And if you would like, I love the address for this. If you would like the book, it's www.transgress.com.
Transgress.org.
Oh. Sorry, it's been a long week. .org. Well, we'll have your pencils out, guys, and we will get back to that. Anyway, back to the topic at hand. You know, I was always brought up, and I said it a gazillion times in the last 10 years on the show, to consider the source whenever I was bothered. But you seem to, you know, my mom would love the way how you write things. You after talking about responding and how to respond rather than react, you also talk about certain skills and attributes, and I love this enumeration of them, and I'm going to rattle them off here, such as resilience, integrity, honesty, accountability, self-confidence, having a positive attitude, and how to look at failure and success. It would be easy to say, well, these are mundane and kind of corny, but they really hit the nail on the head. You want to talk to them?
I think integrity, I think, is very important, but the biggest attribute that I live by every day is failure. This world has made failure a negative thing, and actually it's an extremely positive thing. I read a book once by an author who I love dearly and a speaker, John Maxwell, and his book is Failing Forward, and that's exactly what it's about. Failure is experience. And somehow, in speaking to youth today, I hear them say, well, you know, it didn't work, I quit, I'm leaving it. Well, but you know what? Because they think that failure is the left side and success is the right side. They don't realize that you have to go through multiple failures to get to a success. because they're all the experiences, good or bad, that you either have to subtract from what you're doing or add new things on and just keep piling it on, and eventually at the back end you're going to be successful. And that deals with perseverance and motivation. And when I see kids accept mediocrity, it actually drives me nuts, because every child can be unique. And bringing that around to bullying, because this all ties in. Every single one of these attributes, really, it's almost like a circle. They all lead into one another. I mean, do you think Steve Jobs and Gates and Bill Gates weren't nerds or geeks or weirdos, whatever they were in their era? Look where they are and look where they became. And I try to tell these kids when I talk to them that you're unique and you're different and you're not a robot, and that you have a different opinion and a different voice, and you should cherish that and look at that as being positive. And you always have to do that, even on the rainy days. I mean, we all have them, but you have to look at yourself as being something unique, and that the world needs you.
And you're not talking about people that we're not unfamiliar with. Ulysses, I think last time I looked, the institution that we're at and where you our associate director of admissions, somewhere seventh rated in the world, mm-hmm. RPI. I mean, it's very impressive, whatever the number is. Geeks and nerds, will they inherit
they
the world?
They thrive here, yeah.
They do very well.
Yeah.
Seems like everybody's...
Because it's, for many of them, it's coming here, it's the first place where they feel comfortable because they're with other people who are like them.
Right.
They have finally found a community that likes the things that they like, that can talk about the things that they want to talk about, and no one bats an eyelash, and it's important to them. It's important for them to find that community, and for many, they have found it here. This is the place for them.
And I think it's sad that now being ignorant is cool. And being smart is not cool.
Right. But that's always been the case, though, because I remember when I was a child, you know, the smart kids were nerds. I mean, come on, you know. That hasn't changed, but the reality is we can't do it alone. We need other people to do it. And so when you have a think tank, and whoever that is made up of within, you've got 10 creative ideas coming back at you. If everybody thought and felt and looked the same, how mundane and boring would the world be?
Oh, absolutely. And I love how you segue into, the fact that trans youth will hit situations, or I would call them speed bumps.
Right.
And the question is, are you going to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, or are you going to go hide in a corner?
Right.
And the answer is pretty obvious.
Right. I mean, because, you know, listen, it is a marathon, and just like any marathon, literally or figuratively, you know, you're going to have bumps in the way, and what are you going to do with that? You're going to turn around and go home? Because nothing's going to run smoothly, and especially when you're dealing with physical transitioning and your body. My body's different than yours and different than anybody else. And if I take medicine, my dosage may not be yours. And everything actually has to be down to the single person. It has to come down to you and what goes on with you. And you may have some issues that someone else wouldn't have, but the good part about the internet is these kids can all connect with each other and say, did you do this, and did this happen to you? And they actually have, and they have it better in a way than we did, because they do have people they can talk to. It may not be right next door, but they've got people that I encourage them to, you know, bond with when they go to all these conferences, so that they can have some type of a friendship or an acquaintance or someone who's gone through the same thing and can commiserate and say, hey, it's cool, dude, don't worry, you know, it's just a couple months and everything will be fine, it'll get better, because they've been through it. It's not someone's aunt or uncle. It's their counterpart that may be 200 or 2,000 miles away from them.
Yeah, now I want to pick your brain here. It seems to me that, and this is just a first, you know, person singular subjective observation, that
right.
The Caitlyn Jenner incident, individual life experience, has caused the trans movement to quote unquote gain some traction. That things are moving on the continuum.
Right.
Is that, am I seeing something that's not there, or am I right?
Well, I mean, this is, again, my single reaction to that. You know, what happened when Rock Hudson came out as being gay? What happened with that in AIDS? Right? So sometimes it needs a celebrity's face. There are good points and there are bad points. I think she's also educating herself as she goes. And I think that's a good thing. I'm hoping because, you know, she is famous that she will give it the cause that it needs to have as opposed to celebrity status cause, if you understand what I mean. I think it's great. I mean, we, you know, she and I are about the same age, so I understand. I understand all the childhood stuff. I understand everything she went through, except, you know, I wasn't a decathlete. But, but I mean, she speaks very well, and I think once she's educated and gets behind the cause well enough, you know, from a point of knowledge and her passion, I think she can do a world of good.
Well, I think if nothing else, the focus has been finally on an area that's been almost invisible,
Laverne Cox is out there, and Janet Mock is out there, and Chaz Bono really was the first one to come out. But what's interesting to me is that they're almost everybody that's out there is male to female. All the shows, everything, I mean, is male to female. Scott Turnfield, who's on, I think it's The Bold and Beautiful, is the first female and male transgender person who's actually an actor, but it's all male to female. So what statement does that say in the world?
Yeah, pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Now,
but I mean, everybody has their own good points. I think it's great. I think if we can be out there and be the face, there's still a lot of road work. There's still a lot of work that has to be done. There's too many deaths. There's too many, you know, on the other side, the homelessness. I mean, the LGBT community, I'm sure you've spoken about it. The homelessness are 43%. And people go, oh, come on, you know, even as we say cis males, you know, guys that are born as a male, there's a lot of issues they have as well. You know, so what's really perfect?
Well, this is a wonderful way to bring it full circle, like I always like to do with the interviews. What a thrill it's been talking to you today, Seth. And again, tons of people want to contact you, and they also want to get a copy of your book. So let's do them in order, one and two. How do we contact you?
They can email me on my website, which is SethRaines.com, SethRaines.com. And they actually can get the book on my website because it'll actually take them to the site that you were talking about, which is transgresspress.org.
Okay.
And some of that money, I just want to say to you, does go back into supporting trans kids in the community, this independent publisher. So that's why I want people to, you know, go there to get it as opposed to, you know, Amazon, where the book is also as well.
It's an amazing resource. And before I let you go, and I've already staked you to numerous future appearances if we're lucky, you know, the school has just started. We have a huge audience of younger students, GSA kids and trans kids. And I don't want to be corny or hokey here, but what message of hope would you put out in a few sentences for them?
I think that they need to grow alligator skin. They need to know who they are, be proud of who they are, and be themselves, like be their original you. And just know that things are going to get better and that every child in that school environment that they're in has their own insecurities as well. You're not the only one. They all have them. So you're not like the only fish in the sea. And it does get better, especially the GSAs, you know, which I'm definitely a part of that as well. And it gets better. I know that sounds hokey sometimes because you want the cure tomorrow, but it gets better. Just be proud of who you are.
Well, you have a marvelous persona. I would certainly love to sit down and talk to you about anything. I wish you'd been working for me as a guidance counselor who really counseled. And this is Dr. Ray working at WRPI Troy. I've been talking to Seth Jameson Raines, the author of Real Talk for Teens, which is a jumpstart guide to gender transitioning and beyond. And someday I'm going to bring you back to talk about another book you have written about animals. And I just absolutely...
Billy?
Yes. Love that. I can't wait to get a copy.
He's the CEO of his own business. Yep. First Cat CEO. He's got like 26,000 followers on Twitter. Are you kidding me?
Not too shabby.
Yeah.
Well, have a great day. It was a thrill talking to you, and we will get together again soon on Homo Radio.